Welcome to Courageous Conversations with your host, Richard Dolan, a world-renowned speaker, mentor, and coach to many celebrity icons and global thought leaders. Listen as they share their stories and insights about what it takes to lead a courageous life, from overcoming adversity to living with purpose and meaning. Each guest brings a unique perspective that will leave you feeling empowered and motivated to make positive changes in your own life starting today. Hello there, everybody. Richard Dolan here for a courageous conversation. Thanks to our great friends and partners, Braun Studios. Always good to sit down with people who are thought leaders, opinion formers, authors, and celebrated wonders of the mind around the world. And we're delighted, super privileged to be sitting with one of my favorite authors of all time, Mr. Don Miguel Ruiz. My friend, good to see you.
It's a pleasure to be with you and with whoever is listening to us. I think this will be great.
I think every time you speak, it's always going to be great. So the reason why we decided to sit down and chat was because there's been an enormous amount, a rebirth, if I might say, to reclaiming and restoring people's relationship to what it means to be alive. As you know, my friend, we've lived through some incredible times this pandemic has brought us. In over 105 years of recorded human history, we've never experienced quarantine, self-isolation, social distancing, mask wearing the way we actually have, especially in a digital age. Why don't we begin with just how you and your family have done during such tough times?
Well, you know, it's extremely easy, you know, because when we have the awareness of what we really are, we see everything in a completely different way. You know, for all of our life, we was thinking that we are the image that we represent, the image that we project, and we perceive also the images that everybody projects into us. Well, when you have the awareness that you are not what you believe you are, and you find out that what you really are is that force that moves matter, which means you are life. You are not living your life. Your life and your body moves because of you. You are the one who make possible that the body grow up, grow old. But you are always the same. What changed all the time? Number one is your physical body. And number two is the way you perceive everything around you, which means the story of your life that is changing all the time. You know, when you understand that point, you will understand everything else around you, because the only thing that is real, that is true, is life itself. And we can see that the whole creation is nothing but a beautiful dance between energy and matter, which is life and death. Because as we learn at school, matter cannot move if a force is moving matter. And if matter is moving, is in movement, cannot stop unless a force stops matter. But matter by itself doesn't move. And what is wonderful is that in our physical body, we have an entire creation. We see life moving all the matter in our physical body. From every quantum, every molecule, every tissue, everything is moved and rearranged by that force that is life, that we can see that only life exists. Only life is true. And with that point of view, we see the entire humanity, the entire planet Earth, shifting and changing all the time. Because with that point of view, we see the action of life moving everything in nature. And when we apply into humanity and we see the story of humanity, we see the evolution of the humans, because life is moving everything. We see nations rising, going to full power. We see how decay. we see how other nations take over, and it's happening all the time all around the world. Then a pandemic is not the first time that happened in humanity. We witnessed many of those happening, all those tragedies we can see, a lot of death. But something that is very interesting, at least in my point of view, is to see that when nature creates those kind of traumas like a hurricane, earthquake, those kind of disasters, we humans gather together and support each other, and that bring the best of all of us. But when the tragedy happened, because we humans created, we see separation. We see the worst of human coming out. We see hate. We see injustice. We see violence. Then in this pandemic, it's more than 1 year now, we see both sides in every nation, not just in the United States. In every nation, we see a lot of disasters, a part of the pandemic, and we see how we humans, we gather together, and we support each other, and we help whoever is in every part of the world. We send help, and we become one, and we face whatever challenge comes from nature. But we also see the conflicts that we create as humans. And we see the division, we see hate, we see the worst of us. But with that awareness, knowing that you are life, knowing that you are immortal, because life don't die. Energy cannot be destroyed. Energy is transforming everything around. It's transforming matter. But energy is indestructible, which means that you, the force that moves your physical body, you cannot be destroyed. Yes, the day will come when you leave your physical body and your body will dissolve, it will disappear, but not you, because you exist long before your birth and you will exist long after your physical body dies. When you witness that, when you know that you are alive, your point of view of everything around you changes. Now you can use compassion. You can use the best of you to help. And you just don't want to be part of any separation. Mm. You don't play with those kind of emotions like hate, anger. You know, you just live your life with common sense. Because once that you know that you are not where you believe you are, like I say before, everything changed right away.
Mm, I love it.
The way we see the pandemic is exactly in that point of view. You know, we know that crisis happened. We see a lot of injustice around. We see a lot of people losing jobs, a lot of people starving. We see many people die. And yes, we have compassion. We support. We do the best we can. In my point of view, I keep writing. I keep telling everybody, hey, you guys can do much better. You can just adapt to the changes and you will even take advantage of whatever is happening around you. And that's a lot that we can do. And we can avoid this other kind of conflicts, because if we just don't believe whoever tried to put it on mind, their ideas, life can be extremely easy, because the way we live life is easy. We are the ones who make everything difficult. Then let's have that awareness. And something that I tell in most of my lectures, when I speak with all the people, I tell them, please, guys, help me to change the world. I don't mean to change humanity. I don't mean to change the planet Earth. I mean to change the world that you create, because you live in the world that you create. And whatever dramas you have, whatever suffering, whatever happiness is because you created. And nobody can change your world but you. That if you help me and you change your world, it will be great for you and for whoever lives around you.
I love
that. You can make life so easy, so simple. You don't have to create nightmares anymore. You can change the story of your life and make it so easy for you.
I love that. I love what you're saying. It's so great to see you, your energy, your articulation. You know, Don Miguel, when you talk about being really the author and curator or the creator of your life and the energy in which you embody, one can't help but go back into where your beginnings first genesized from. And I mean, you have humble beginnings. You became a surgeon and then an incredible author, where much of your philosophy and the phenomenology in which you speak from is very, as you'd say, Tolic based. First, tell me, what inspired you to be such a force in this life the way you've become? Because you could have easily remained a surgeon all your life and done probably just as well, if not better.
Well, you know, my family have a certain tradition that I learned when I was a child, when I was a teenager. And I hear all the theories that come from my mother, my father, my grandfather. And I understood all what they say, but I just didn't believe. You know, it's so simple, so easy, but it's hard to believe. And the reason is because I learned so many things before. I have a whole group of ideas. I built a whole edifice, all my knowledge. And in that way, I become a medical doctor. I become a surgeon. But before I finish medical school, I have a car accident. And that changed everything. In that car accident, I destroyed my car. I hit a concrete wall, and the car was total. But my body was normal, just little things. But what happened there changed everything, because I passed out on the wheel. But I see my body sleeping in the wheel in a very slow motion. And I see myself protecting my physical body. And nothing happened to my body. And as a scientist, I say, how this is possible? My body was passed out and I witnessed it. Then I understood before that I am not my body, that I live in my body, that my body is my home. But to have that experience, that changed everything. And immediately I see that all the efforts of everything that I was learning, et cetera, it was not that real anymore. And I wanted to understand more. Anyway, I finished my career. I started being a medical doctor. I became a surgeon. I was working with two of my brothers. One is a neurosurgeon. The other is an oncology surgeon. And I helped them. And that's how I became a surgeon with them. But at a certain point, when I see the all the dramas in humanity, I wanted to understand why we are the way we are. I want to understand how the mind works. Then I decide to start being a medical doctor and to go into the study of the mind. And I become a shaman. And with that title, that it really doesn't mean anything, give me the permission to explore the mind of my apprentices, that they start growing and growing and growing. There was a lot of apprentices in a very short time. And after 10 years of working so hard and understanding the human mind, everything was so clear for me. The result of those 10 years of studying the human mind is the four agreements. a book that is very simple, very easy to read, and is a guide to find for yourself what you really are. And it was a big challenge to put it in words, something that in other places you see different books, almost a whole encyclopedia to try to understand what we are. And also the challenge was to write it in a way that anyone can understand, from people who hardly went to school to the most intelligent people in the planet. And it was a very short book that you can read just in a couple of hours. That was the challenge. Then when I decided to write that book, I knew that this book had the destiny to go all around the world. And it's been translated in 46 different languages, which means it's all around the planet Earth. And I wrote that book in 1997. And by the end of the century, it was the number 30 book from the decade. It was for a long time in the New York Times bestseller book. And after almost 25 years ago, it still is one of the favorite books. It becomes a classic. And what is interesting to see in this book is that I put, I can say, my life into that book. That once the book is ended, the book was dead. But whoever read that book, the reader give life to the book and understand as the best they can. Then they read the book and they put all those seeds in the mind that start everybody a process of doubting and challenge what they already know. And that change the reader, change the mind of the reader. Then let's see that they finish the book is dead again. But when they take the book again, let's see, 6 months later, it feels like they're reading a completely different book. They give life to the book again. And now the way they believe, the way they think that changed, and they see the book in a completely different way, and they bring more challenges. There's people who read the book like a 5, 6, 7, 8 times, and they always find something new. And it is like a little guide in your pocket to is helping you to find out what you really are. And it's only 4 agreements.
It's true.
Then in that book, I present what the problem is. And of course, the problem is the human education, is the human domestication. And the solution is these 4 agreements. Because with these 4 agreements, when you apply, you are searching for something that you lose, which is your personal freedom to see what you really are. And after that, I wrote many other books.
Yep.
That is going into the same knowledge, but deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And I just wrote last year a book that we call The Actor. And even this is the same direction of knowledge, is given a different approach to get to the same place.
Mm. Well, I want to pause you for a moment because you're such a plethora, a vault, an archive of such abundant knowledge and inspiration for people to know. But I want to make a couple of comments, especially when you do some research about what readers say about reading your material. And the best way to encapsulate their experience is to reference the old book of I Ching, where it says that when two foreign substances come together, and if there's a reaction, both are forever transformed. And a lot of your readers, your faithful followers, those who you might consider a fan or a follower, they all would report that every time they interact with your material, every time they come into the presence of your intelligence, every time they're losing themselves in your education, they rediscover a different version of themselves. And so that version of themselves, when they review your work, is always a different experience. And I'm one of them, by the way. So I want you to know that I'm very grateful for having you do that for me. But from Mastery of Love to the Voice of Knowledge to even the fifth agreement, what changed for you? Because from what I understand, you went through yet another life-defining or redefining moment, which may have led you on the path to creating The Actor. Can you illuminate a little bit of the circumstances and the events that led up to the authorship of The Actor?
Okay, well, 2002, February 28, I have a major heart attack. And I was 9 weeks in coma.
Wow.
And it looks like that I should be dead. But I survived. When I survived, the doctor told me that I may have one more year of life because the heart was working only in the 16% of its capacity, which means that there's only blood for brain, lungs, and heart, that the rest of the body it was in pain. Then once I came back, as you can see, my mind was different. I forget so many other things, but you know, I have the experience of 49 years previous to the heart attack. And I kind of rebuilt the mind. And my purpose changed a little. Because for that time, I have a race against death. Not because I don't want to die, no. You know, when I have the heart attack, I was so excited because I can share with everybody a different way of die, a different way of let go with joy and all that. But coming back and knowing that I still will live maybe 1 year more, I have to fix everything for my children and try to give the best I can for them. Anyway, a year passed, I'm still alive. 2 years passed, I'm still alive. But that time, I kind of fixed all the finances or whatever and put almost everything in my children's name because I knew that my body will pass away anytime. Well, after 8 years, and my body is still alive, I decide to have a heart transplant. It took a whole year studying my body, and by the end they put me in the list of heart transplant. That was in 2010. And by end of August, they told me, okay, now you are accepted and be ready to receive a new heart. And it will take maybe 6 months to 1 year for you to receive the heart.
Wow.
And anyway, by that time I was, I used a lot of a wheelchair because I couldn't stand up for a long time. And I decided to go to, with my children in the workshops they gave, Miguel Jr. and Jose. And I was in Texas, in Austin, and at midnight, they called me from the Cedars-Sinai in LA that they have a heart for me. That was in October, just a few months later. And I have to be in the hospital in less than 6 hours, in the middle of the night. I say, I will be there. Don't give my heart away. And I put to work everybody around me with the computers and until they find someone who fly me from Texas to LA. And I arrived just on time. Just on time. They go directly to the surgery room. They prepare me and they did the heart transplant on the October 10, 10,010. It was an easy procedure. When I came out, everything was completely different. I recovered like in around 6 months. And with permission, I started traveling around the world once again.
Really?
I went to Japan, to Europe. I was, for more than 3 years, I was everywhere.
But Don Miguel, if I may interject for just a moment, because this is a very profound shift. For your life story and for those who are watching, and we're all studying to talk about how we are going to design, of course, and deliver and realize an incredible legacy for you, which has already been in development your entire life. You seem to go through these incredible, crucible moments where something happens and you transform. Something happens and you transform. And when you mentioned around the heart failure and then, of course, the subsequent heart transplant, your purpose, you said, changed. Now, what would you say your purpose changed to? What was it? Because you did reference the kids and, of course, your family. You're a grandfather. You have many people that are now a part of your legacy. But did you find that the way you want to speak about what you've learned and how you would inspire others to understand the things that you've learned, did that change as well?
Well, what changed is the way I approach everything around me. You know, before the heart transplant, everything was focused into my children. But the time of the heart transplant, my children, they were ready. They already wrote several books, Miguel Jr. and Jose, and Leonardo was almost ready to take over the business family. Once that I had the heart transplant, at 6 months, I went with one of my friends to Yucatan. His name is Mario Tum. He's in a group called Camila. And he's very well known in Mexico and Latin America. And he was filming a song. And he invited me to be part of that. I accepted. I wanted to test myself. What can I do? Then we went to Chichen Itza. We went to Tulum. And I climbed the pyramid there. And they filmed. It was part of this. And I really enjoy it. And that was my very first thing I do after my heart transplant. Then I see that my body can handle the flight. And I start traveling all around again. Then I used to be just focused into my children. They was kind of ready. Then it was time to focus again in the rest, just like before the heart attack. And I saw that, my body was strong again. I can handle all of that. And it was an ongoing for 3, almost 4 years, until my body stopped me again. Say, okay, that's enough. then I always respect my body. You know, like I said before, I see my body as my home. For me, my physical body is a sanctuary where I live. And as the sanctuary where I live, it deserves all my love and all my respect. Then, as you can see, my physical body is the love of my life. And that extends into my house, extends into my car. This is then in whatever I can have certain kind of control. But because I love and respect myself, I'm able to love and respect everybody else without expecting anything, really. And, well, that's what I was sharing wherever I go. Then the fifth agreement was wrote before the heart transplant. And I wrote my next book around the 2015 or 16, or something like that. And that book was what I call the Toltec Art of Life and Death, or something like that, which is a story of my experience when I have the heart attack. You know, as many people say that in the moment of death, they have a review of their whole life. Mm. Well, that was true for me. Then just before I went to coma, I was so excited, but my whole life goes in front of me, and it looks just like a dream. But it's just a story. It is a story narrated in my personal point of view, which means that it's only true for me. And not even for me, because I know it's not true. Because it's the point of view that I use in a certain given moment when something happened. But it doesn't mean that this is real. Because if other people witness whatever happened that moment, they have a different story. Because everybody have a different point of view. And this is just according to my point of view and according to what I remember. And then I wrote that because a director of a movie, which is my friend, he asked me if he could write a movie about my life. Then I say, well, maybe yes, but first I want to write a book. And this is the book that I wrote. Then after I finished the book, I talked to him. I see the kind of movies that he's doing, whatever. And I was not that ready to give it to him or to anybody really at that time. But at least I wrote this book. You know, after that, I wrote the three questions. Going back into self-help books. And then I wrote The Actor. But anyway, as you can see, I wrote a kind of a script that is not really a script. It's just dialogues about what happened in this 9 weeks in coma. Right. And I wrote another one about the heart transplant, the moment before the heart transplant. You know, not being in Texas and have only 6 hours to arrive to LA for the heart transplant. And all the dramas to reach to that point and get on time. I also write more the dialogues because I don't have experience as a screenwriter. I may learn how to write this as screenplay, but
well, the most important
part, I've got already.
The most important part that you have, Don Miguel, in the few minutes we have left, because I want to be respectful of your time and of course of your team, and I'm so grateful for all of it, so thank you, is that you have the life story to write from. You know, in my view, from Four Agreements to Mastery of Love, of course, to The Voice of Knowledge, even The Actor of the Fifth Agreement, and even your new work, The Three Questions, it all comes from a place of wanting to teach and inspire and empower human beings. But it would appear to me that some of your work now, inspired by your real life crucible moments, it provides you an insight. You have a different insight that many people cannot afford to live and tell about. You know, you narrowly escape what it could have been a near disaster, and you don't. And now you're able to teach people and inspire people to in fact, renew their purpose, renew their quest, renew their love for themselves. I love what you said, the physical body, it's a love of your life. What would you love to do now? With the time you have at this stage and state, knowing that filming was enjoyable and climbing a pyramid was beautiful and being a part of music was lovely, at this precise moment, and I'm not saying that you would have the right answer, but what do you feel compelled to do? What do you feel like you would love to do that if it was done, you'd feel like it would be one more great thing you've accomplished? That would be a wonderful thing to add to your incredible repertoire of life. What would it be, Don Miguel?
Well, you know, I always will be creating, because it's this sense, not just of me, but everybody. Even if we don't know they're creating all the time, then I will not stop until the moment that I leave my physical body and say goodbye to everything. Goodbye to my body and goodbye to my story. Because once that the brain is not working anymore, the whole human dream will disappear from my head. It is okay. You know, what I know is that I live in everybody. Because the force that moves my brain is the same force that moves yours and everybody else. It's the same force that moves every flower, every tree, the clouds, the earth, the galaxies, quantums, everything. Then we can say that the conclusion is, I am God, but you are God, and the rock is God, and the dog is God. Then only God exists, but I don't like to call it God. I love to call it life or force or energy. It's the same, but I love to call it life. And my body is the love of my life. It's matter. I love matter. And I move matter. And we are the same. We all. There's no one better than anybody.
Well, you know, it occurs to me in the few short moments we have left that there's no greater time, no greater responsibility, no greater moment than now to have the world reclaim and restore their relationship with their current reality than to do it with your help. Is that something that inspires you and lights you up, my friend?
Well, yes, it's just give to myself, which means to everybody, the keys to stop believing all the lies that we believe, which is a lot. But only the individual can do that. I don't have the right to tell anybody how to live their life or not. No, everybody have to make their own decisions, their own choices. I just give the ideas. And please help me to change the world.
I'm 100% into doing that. I'm 100%. So listen, Don Miguel, on behalf of the team here at Braun, I want to say thank you so much for your time, your genius, your magic, the miracle of the meaning you help us find and rediscover. You are an incredible force. And I want you to know that what I pick up from this conversation that I know will transpire in the conversations to follow is, in this digital age, there's different, new, and unique ways of getting that message out. That's number one. Number two is the world is learning and listening differently than it did 25 years ago when you first launched the beautiful Four Agreements. And for that fact, we have a very unique advantage where we can work with the team, your children, your children's children, their spouses, to really embolden your stand for awakening mankind to the blessing it is to be alive. But third is I'm just blown away that you're lit up. You're full of energy. You're full of vibration. You're full of just this, this gift of life where you want to continue giving, because to give is to live, and to live is the ultimate miracle of living here. Yeah. So for all those reasons, I'm all in, my friend.
You guys have all my love and how to keep seeing you guys.
My friend, good to see you. Good to be with you. I bless you and your family. I'm grateful. I'm humbled. And until next time, we'll be meeting with Don Luis Miguel. At the end of the day, my friend, you are a blessing and a magic in this world. And I look forward to making more together.
Thank you.
Muchas gracias.
Okay.
Thanks for tuning into Courageous Conversations with Richard Dolan. We're on all the major podcast platforms, and we appreciate your support by reviewing us. You can follow our show at The Rich World on many social media channels. We hope that listeners like yourself enjoyed this episode, and remember to subscribe via Apple Podcasts or whatever other streaming services are available, because we cannot wait to bring you more valuable content that can make a difference in your life.